All right, let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to 1 Peter chapter 1 once again. We are working our way through verses 13 to 25 in these days under the sermon title, Called to be Holy. The last time we considered verses 13 and 14, where we noted three things for preparation to hear the command to be holy in verses 15 and 16. And so last time we considered the three things in verse 13 and 14. Number one was, gird up the loins of your mind in verse 13. And we talked a little bit about what that meant and what it was leading us to do. Gird up the loins of your mind. And then secondly, we looked at be sober in verse 13. That is, sober-minded about the things concerning our salvation and what God has done for us. And then thirdly, we looked at hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ in verse 13. And so we talked a little bit about hope to the end. And we discovered that what Peter is saying here is, keep your hope perfectly in the grace of God, which will be put on display at the revelation of Jesus Christ. To the end was a particular Greek word that meant complete and whole. So keep your hope perfectly in the grace of God, which will be put on display at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's going to be an awesome day when Christ returns to this earth, destroy the enemies of Israel, the false prophet, the Antichrist are going to be cast into the lake of fire. Satan's going to be bound for 1,000 years and put in a bottomless pit. And Christ returns in power and great glory. And we will return with him, riding on white horses to engage the battle. It won't be much of a battle. I don't think we'll be doing anything. Christ is just going to speak the word and it's all going to be done. And then he establishes and sets up his millennial kingdom here on earth from the throne of David in the city of Jerusalem. And that's going to be an awesome day. Of course, for us as Christians, we know that the rapture takes place approximately 7 years before all of that will happen. But just imagine the grace of God that is going to be put on display when Jesus comes again. It's just going to be amazing. And then we noted that these three things are characteristic of obedient children in verse 14. Obedient children who no longer fashion themselves, that is, no longer indulging in the sins which characterized them in their former life, B.C. B.C. meaning before Christ. And so Paul says, you need to be like obedient children. And those three things in verse 14 will be characteristic of obedient children. And we don't want to be living in the same manner as we did before we got saved. And if you got saved early in life as a child, then we don't want to be living in the manner of the world around us that does not know Christ. Our lives should be different. So having now established these foundational principles, Peter's now ready to move on to the command in verse 15 and 16. And the command is, be holy. Right? Be holy. Now before we look into these two verses, let me remind you of the simple outlines for this section that we shared with you last time. Peter nicely lays out, after having talked about the uniqueness and the glories of our salvation in the first 12 verses of the chapter, in verses 13 to 25, we can basically look at three parts. Number one, be holy in verses 13 to 16. Secondly, be reverent in 17 to 21, picking up on the word fear as being intentioned to reverence, that kind of fear. And then thirdly, be loving in verses 22 to 25. And the third section seems to be the fallout from getting the first two in place. So this evening, for a few moments, let's consider verses 15 and 16. Here are the verses, verse 15 and 16. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Right? Be ye holy, for I am holy. Verse 15 begins with that little word, but, B-U-T. Always interested to read but or but now in scriptures. In light of what Peter has just pointed out in verse 14, Peter makes an abrupt change in direction. He said, don't be living out the stuff that you used to before you got saved, but now you need to live this way, he is saying. As he who has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. So it's a change in direction, a change in thought and mind. So you used to be disobedient children, fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts and you're ignorant, but here's what you need to do instead now as obedient children. Be holy. Be holy. We should not live as we used to live before we were saved. But now we have a new direction in life and living, and that is holiness before the Lord. Now, Peter prefaces his command to be holy with, as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy. That's a pretty good premise that he lays out before us. There's a reason for the command, and that is because the one that we love, the one who has saved us from our sins, is holy. Therefore, we should be like him, is Peter's point. And so he establishes this, we would call a beachhead. Here's where you need to land. Here's where you need to stand and make your stand before the Lord. He which hath called you is holy gives us a framework for the focus of our own life's habits today. So we ask the question, who is the one who is holy? Right? As he which hath called you is holy, who is he? Well, I know you don't have to think very much about it, but it's always a good question to ask, just so that we have it in mind. Who is the one who is holy? It's none other than the Lord God himself. And we would suggest to you the triune God, a Father, Son, who is Jesus Christ, in the flesh, and the Holy Spirit as well. So how do we know that God is holy, that this is who it's referred to? Well, let's look at a few references that will tell us that God is holy. The word holy occurs 611 times in our Bible. It's used very much. And the very first occurrence of the word holy is found in Exodus 3, verse 5. This Exodus 3, you know, is the record of Moses meeting the Lord at the burning bush, right, that he saw in the backside of the desert. He saw a bush burning. It wasn't consumed. He says, hey, I'm going to go check that out. And so he walked over. And in verse 5 of Exodus 3, the Lord said to him, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. So what would make the ground holy that Moses was standing on? Well, it had to be holy because God was present there in that burning bush. So the area around the bush would have been holy as well because of God's presence in that place. God's presence is holy. Therefore, the ground around it would be holy. And so Moses was told to take his shoes off and because the place he was standing was holy ground. Here's another one in 1 Samuel 2:2. Which is Hannah's song of praise and thanks to the Lord for the birth of Samuel, yes, birth of Samuel. She says, right at the beginning of her song, for Samuel 2:2, she says, "There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God." None holy as the Lord, coming from Hannah at the birth of her son. Psalm 22, verse 3. Psalmist says, "But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel." And that is Jehovah God, obviously. Thou art holy. Thou art holy. Psalm 71, verse 22. "I will also praise thee with the psaltery, even thy truth, O my God. Unto thee will I sing with the harp, O thou Holy One of Israel." Right? The Holy One of Israel is his God. Psalm 99, verse 5. "Exalt ye the Lord our God and worship at his footstool." Why? "For he is holy." He is holy, the Lord our God. Psalm 105, verse 3. "Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord." So it's clear that our God is a holy God. You know Isaiah 6, verse 3, seraphim flying through heaven, six wings, and they cry constantly, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And here in this verse, we see glory and holiness associated together in this cry from the seraphim. That ought to be something worth a sermon sometime down the road. The glory and holiness of God. Isaiah 43, verse 3. The Lord himself says through the prophet Isaiah, "For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, and Ethiopia and Seba for thee." But notice, "I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel." When we come over to the New Testament, there's a few. Mark 1, verse 24 is in the context of Jesus casting devils out of a particular man. And the devils say back to Jesus in verse 24 of Mark 1, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." So we understand also that Jesus Christ himself is holy, and Peter's command to be holy also would come from Christ as well. Acts 4:27 says, "For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together." Just reminding through Peter, I think it was Peter that preached in Acts 4 about who Jesus was, the Holy Child Jesus. And when we come to the last book of the Bible, Revelation 4, verse 8, this is the scene in heaven that has been revealed to John, and we believe after the rapture of the church. And what he sees, he writes about, he says, "The four beasts, each of them had six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." We also find in the Bible references to the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, the holy place, holy ground, holy angels. There is mention of the Holy of Holies. You know, remember where that was in the temple, sealed off, curtained off area, the Holy of Holies, that only the Lord was there. That's where the Ark of the Covenant was put. Only the high priest could go in there once a year and not without blood. We read about the holy city, holy apostles, holy people, a reference to Israel, actually, holy scriptures, holy women, holy nation, holy hands, holy brethren, a holy kiss. That was one of my son's favorite verses. Greet one another with a holy kiss. And many others, holy prophets, holy land, and so on. And when you look at all of those things, you have to be impressed with the fact that they are things, all things related to God Almighty. Right? And because they are related to Him, then they also then become holy in themselves. So, the scriptures establish the truth that God is holy, and it is He that has called you to Himself by grace through faith and salvation, a faith in Christ, and to be saved. It is God that is holy, and He requires of us who know Him as Lord and Savior to also be holy. Now, before we get to the rest of verse 15, let's take a look at verse 16 for a moment. Verse 16 says, "Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." It's always a wonderful thing when the gospel and Bible writers appeal to that which was written, right? Matthew does that a lot in his gospel. He writes and records the things that Jesus did and says so that the scriptures would be fulfilled. And so it's always great when they can go back and say, listen, this is written. It's in the scriptures for us, the Old Testament. And so that makes a great authority for the other things that they are going to say. So Peter refers to that which is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Where is this written? Yeah, check your center column references. It is in Leviticus 11, and I think it's verse 45. But keep your finger here in 1 Peter. Look back to Leviticus 11, 44? 44, okay. Go back to Leviticus chapter 11, and we'll read what has been written. Leviticus 11. And find verse 43. We'll start there and just read down a few verses. The Lord has been talking about things that they could not eat. They were unclean. And in the context, He's talking about creeping things. I don't think that is very appetizing anyways. Verse 43. "You shall not make yourselves abominable with any creeping thing that creepeth, neither shall ye make yourselves unclean with them, that ye should be defiled thereby. For I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy." Right, so Peter appeals back to Leviticus chapter 11 in his letter to the strangers scattered throughout the cities of Asia Minor. Interesting in verse 44 that the Lord says, "I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy." You know that the word sanctify and the word holy come from the same root word. It means to be set apart, right? To be set apart, unique, one of a kind, nothing else like that. So sanctify yourselves. In sanctifying yourselves and being set apart from the world unto the Lord, then you shall be holy because He Himself, God that is holy as well. So we note the context. This was written back in Leviticus. This was written to the people of Israel at the time that the Lord was giving them the law through Moses on the mountain, which it seems to me is another reason to understand that Peter is probably writing to those elect strangers scattered throughout Asia, would probably be the Jews of the diaspora, the dispersion, and he's writing to them this letter. If you read 1 Peter 1:1, that's who he is writing about. We talked about that a few weeks ago. In Deuteronomy 7, verse 6, we read even about the nation of Israel. God says, "For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth." So we know the place that Israel holds in the mind of the Lord, but we must not forget either that those of us who have put our faith in Jesus Christ are also holy people unto the Lord. We may not be biological Jews, but if we are of the faith of Abraham, for example, then he is the father of all who have their faith and belief in Christ, or in what God has said. And so we have trusted Christ. Therefore, we also take this command to be holy, because he himself is holy. So God is holy, and so must we who have trusted Christ as Savior. It only makes sense, doesn't it? If we've been saved by him and we become part of God's family through faith in Christ and through the new birth and all of those things, then it would make sense that we too should be holy before the Lord. And so we understand what Peter is saying here, and we can apply that to our own lives. The Believer's Bible Commentary makes this comment, verse 15. "Instead of imitating the ungodly world with its fads and fashions, our life should reproduce the holy character of the one who called us. To be godly means to be godlike. God is holy in all his ways. If we are to be like him, then we too must be holy in all that we do and say. In this life, we will never be as holy as he is, but we should be holy because he is." And then this note at verse 16, Peter reaches back into the Old Testament for proof that God expects his people to be like himself. Leviticus 11:44, the Lord said, "Be holy, for I am holy." Christians are empowered to live holy lives by the indwelling Holy Spirit. Old Testament saints did not have this help and blessing, but since we are more privileged, we are also more responsible. The verse Peter quotes from Leviticus acquires a new depth of meaning in the New Testament. It is the difference between the formal and the vital. Holiness was God's ideal in the Old Testament. It has assumed a concrete, everyday quality with the coming of the Spirit of truth. Good notes from the Believer's Bible Commentary. So just one more thought before we leave this passage tonight from verse 15. Peter says, "Be ye holy in all manner of conversation." In all manner of conversation. Is he just talking about conversation we have with one another, the things we say and speak? What is this thing, conversation? What does it mean? Well, it's an old English term, but it basically means your manner of life, your conduct, your behavior, or your deportment. The Greek word is anastrophe, and doesn't mean just what you say, but your whole manner and habit of life, how you live your life. So how are we, what is our lifestyle supposed to be? What is our behavior supposed to be as Christians? We're to be holy, set apart, unique unto God. It's not a suggestion that Peter is giving here. This is a command. It's an imperative. Be holy in all manner of conversation. We could expand on that to say that this means to be set apart from the things of this world. The things of this world, its philosophies, its conduct, its behaviors, the world's way of thinking, and all of its evil and wicked acts. We are to be set apart from that. That's what the idea of sanctification is, to be set apart from the things of the world. So we note that our behavior is to be holy, set apart, unique, different from the world's behavior, one of a kind. And unfortunately, as we take a look around us, too much of the world is getting into the churches and into the lives of Christian people. And I know that many pastors and theologians and others who are writing the books bemoan the fact that there's really often not much difference between a Christian who professes faith in Christ and the world around them. And that's sad, and that ought not to be so. Rather, we ought to be distinct and separate from the things of the world. And so Paul writes to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17. He says, "Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." Context there is verses 14 to 18. You can read that if you wish on your own. So, is being holy, being separate from the lost world, an easy thing to do? We are bombarded all the time through television, billboards, newspapers, internet. We are bombarded all the times that would test our faith and our trust and our desire to live holy lives before the Lord. And so we ask, is it an easy thing for us to do? And the answer is no, it's not. It's not easy, and especially if we try to do so in the flesh, we'll never accomplish that. Jesus said, remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, as he's praying about going to the cross, he said to his disciples, "The spirit is willing, the flesh is weak." He said, if this cup could pass from me, Father, then let it pass. But nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. We need the Holy Spirit to empower us as believers in Christ to live a holy life. Can't do it on our own. We need to do it, but we need to have the Spirit of God to help us to live those lives so that we can obey the command to be holy in all conversation, in all manner of conversation. And I trust that we all have that desire in our hearts to obey the Word of God, to live holy lives before, and to be sanctified and separate from the world around us. As hard as it is to do sometimes, we must do it, and we can trust the Lord to give us the power and the strength to do just that. Well, the voice is just about gone, so let me pray just now. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for the opportunity to study it through even tonight, these few verses. I pray that you would help us to take note of what you have said to us, even from the Old Testament passage where you have said that you are holy and therefore we should be holy. Even though that was to Israel, we also apply it to our lives as believers in Christ. And our heart's desire is to be holy. Help us to have purpose of heart like Daniel, to want to behave ourselves in a manner that is holy before thyself, to kind of hold to the family resemblance, if we would, because you are holy, so should we be. And I pray that you just help us to be that in the days ahead. If things need to change and adjust in our lives, that we might be able to obey this command, I pray that you would direct us and give us the wherewithal to be able to make those changes so that you might be pleased with that which we do in our lives before thyself. Bless your word to our hearts tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.